from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Top Shelf Sports Talk. You're hanging out in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
All right, let's get the initial reactions on some of the releasing that we've heard from the Buffalo Bills, some of these players that failed to make the final 53-man roster. Maybe we'll latch on the practice squad. Matt Perino covering the team at Syracuse.com. The Syracuse Post Standard. I think Shavers is probably the surprise, Matt. Do you think the Bills were kind of inflating the tires on Shavers and increasing his value through the preseason in hopes that they could maybe get something of value in way of a trade before finally ultimately releasing him? Is he an eternal practice squad guy for this team?
Maybe. I mean, I think all the stuff that they talked about in the spring was real. Like, he was a guy that, you know, had shown up, kind of shown some leadership going into his second year. They trotted him out during rookie camp to kind of show the rookies what's what. And they loved him all through the summer. I mean, we watched him every day at training camp, guys. Like, he was rising up the depth chart. I mean, before long, I think it was 4 or 5 days in, he was running with the first team at times. But the thing is, like, guys, we have to remember in the media, I'm as guilty of it as anybody, there's a bunch of boxes that have to be checked. Like, you gotta check the spring box. You got to check the training camp box, and then you got to check the preseason box. And if we go back and watch those three preseason games, he just didn't do enough. And when they have so many other positions where there's flex happening with injuries, guys in, guys out, guys that maybe they don't trust as much, that, you know, they got to maybe inflate some numbers elsewhere, or maybe they don't know what they have because they haven't been able to evaluate a position. I mean, look at the safety spot. I mean, they're going to probably end up taking five guys, and the big reason for that is they haven't been able to really sink their teeth in and evaluate the rookie Cole Bishop, the new addition Mike Edwards, and so I think that's the big part of it, is they like Shavers a lot, but when it comes down to it, what's the path to a productive role on this team once the regular season starts? He still has quite a ways to go, and they're almost probably more okay with chancing him to the practice squad than losing maybe a Joe Andreessen, who has popped in the preseason and they've liked throughout the process as well, kind of trending up in his own way. You got to make some of those hard decisions. And then at tight end, we haven't heard definitively on Zach Davidson yet, but if they want to be a 12 personnel team or they want to build this offense around the tight end position, you have to have some depth there, because Dalton Kincaid got hurt for a game or two last year. We know the injury history with Dawson Knox. You have to have some answers, and I'm high on Quentin Morris. I like the player, but I think if you're looking for somebody to fill in for one of those two other guys in the passing game, Davidson is probably a better fit.
So we have this trade we can react to here, where we don't know what the pick swap is. This is according to Pelissero and the NFL Network, Matt, where the Bills have traded for a corner, Brandon Codrington, but seems more like he's a kick returner. Had a pretty decent game there against Carolina, second preseason game, 63-yard kickoff return, 31-yard punt return. But even in the report I'm reading, that he was a long shot to make that Jets roster, that kind of tells you everything you need to know where the Bills thought the return game was heading into this season.
Yeah, and I think if you go back and look at some of the returns this summer on the Bills side, I thought Deonte Hardy had a couple of nice ones. Daquan Hardy, excuse me. The problem is there was a couple questionable decisions that he made at times. Like, I think it was a couple punts where he received them at the 5-yard line. Those are the kinds of decisions, like a rookie player, that you know, could maybe give you a little bit of pause. We don't know, you know, what the final evaluation was on any of these guys. We'll get a chance to talk to Brandon Bean tomorrow. But this is a guy that, you know, I just quickly before I got on here was looking at a couple of the highlights, and he had on the, a kick return, a really nice return, almost to the 30-yard line of the Carolina Panthers in that game. So, I mean, that's an area where, you know, all these teams are looking for competitive advantages in that kick return part, that new kick return rule. And if this is a guy that they think they can plug in and help them get better field position, you know, they're going to do that. And so, to me, that's what this feels like. I think it's an exchange of 6-round picks. They basically got him for nothing. They didn't want to risk the waiver process. It makes some sense, and we'll see what they do with Hardy here now. I know that they've already reportedly released K.J. Hamler. It already was trending that he wasn't going to win one of those jobs, so we'll see.
Ben DiNucci released by the team, and, you know, feels like an annual event here where we discuss the options behind Josh Allen at backup quarterback and what would this team look like or how would this team perform if the worst-case scenario happened. Do you think DiNucci's back on the practice squad for this team, or do you think one of these more notable names that's been released today could end up being, is that third-string quarterback not on this Bills roster or potentially hasn't been on this Bills roster since the start of the spring?
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of options, right? Like, once you get to this part of the year, and, like, I think it comes down to, like, what situation do these guys want to be in? I think playing in Buffalo would be one that a lot of backup quarterbacks could get excited about because they were to get into the game. They'd like the offense, the offensive line especially. So I don't know. I think Ben DiNucci did some nice things. That everything that I've heard inside the building has been positive. He's already had a little bit of a head start in the fact that he's gotten, what now, like 2 weeks to learn this playbook, which isn't very much of a head start. But if they liked him, I think he's already done some of that work. If Mitch Trubisky isn't going to be ready by the opener, and listen, I think if he really wasn't going to be ready for the opener, they would have been a little bit more aggressive at that spot outside of going and getting Anthony Brown, which felt like just a stand-in for that last game. So my full expectation is that Trubisky makes his way back. They're invested into him. They like him. He knows the system. He's close with Josh. And to me, that's like, right or wrong, that seems to be what the Bills value more, is like a guy in the room that's going to be helpful for Josh throughout the week, give the opposing team or the defense, their own defense, a good look on scout team. And I feel like Trubisky checks a lot of those boxes.
Yeah, Matt, as I look here at the wide receivers, and I'm wondering, all right, kind of pointing to, are they keeping actually four tight ends? And it seems like that after years of talking about being a 12 personnel team, this might actually be really happening. And when you see James Cook, you have Ray Davis. Is this actually going to be the path here for the Buffalo Bills here, that maybe conservative isn't the right word here, but an offense that's going to look a little more different and taking some shorter yardage situations as opposed to years past?
I mean, yes and no. Like, I don't necessarily think because they want to use two tight ends a ton that they're going to be some dramatically, like, shifting into a 12 personnel heavy approach. Like, I still think there's ways you can go about this in personnel packages, even leaning into 11 still when, you know, you're keeping Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox healthy. We saw a lot of that in training camp. Like, they'd come on, they'd come off. They were out there quite a bit together. I mean, they're definitely going to play more 12 personnel, but I don't know what we're going to see yet. I think the signature of Joe Brady's offense going back to Carolina was been the heavy play action stuff that they like to use to open up things down the field in the passing game. That can mean for Kincaid. That can mean for some of these receivers. I mean, Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir in that intermediate area. You know, I am probably in the minority in that I think Keon Coleman is going to be more of a downfield threat than others, you know, based on my conversations I've had with a couple of, you know, my beat members. Like, he hasn't won a ton down the field, but when he does, like, you see a little bit of a spark into what this could potentially look like. So I don't know. I think that you have Josh Allen. It's almost like a disservice to turn into a run-heavy team because of what he's able to do. Are they going to run more? Are they going to look a lot like they did at the end of last season? Probably. Like, I think that James Cook needs the ball in his hands too, whether it's in the run game or the passing game.
Matt, when we find out who's on this practice squad for the Buffalo Bills, is there a kicker on the practice squad?
If it was up to me, I'd say yes. But it just seems like the Bills are so worried about the confidence level of Tyler Bass. At least that's my assumption based on how much they've tried to downplay the issue with Bass. And I know a lot of people talked about, like, he's hit 6 for 7 in the preseason games, and hasn't been great in practice, but he said that that's more about trying things and doing things, and it's okay to mess up in practice, and I get all that. But there's times to try things in practice for me, like watching, like when they're in the field house or on the other field, when the team's running 11-on-11. When they do those specific 11-on-11 field goal drills where they're running the kicker onto the field, like, those are game-like scenarios where I'm going to evaluate Tyler Bass the same way I'd evaluate Keon Coleman or Josh Allen or Von Miller or Christian Benford, right? And so I do think that the level of concern I have at kicker right now, and really, like, have we really gotten to the bottom of, like, what's actually going on here? Like, is it the holder? Because the big question this offseason was Sam Martin was in trouble because of his ability to hold. They get rid of the undrafted free agent guy pretty early in the process, and this continued problem has existed still. And so I don't know what the basis of the problems. Does he just have the yips, or is this something that the Bills are going to have to be answering questions about all season long?
Yeah, Matt, I go back to one of our training camp conversations. It was after practice, and we're like, and you had mentioned, boy, it just looked different coming off of his foot. And I don't know the answer to this, but when we're talking about positions in sports, that the mental makeup has to be there. And goalie in the NHL would be it. Certainly NFL quarterback, but I would think right at the top of the list would also be a professional place kicker in the NFL.
Oh, yeah. I mean, without a doubt. I mean, we've seen some kickers over the years just, you know, crumble under that pressure. And when you go out there, I would imagine, again, I'm not a professional kicker, I've never done it, but just from watching the game for as many years as I have, when you go out there and things are going well, you're in a rhythm, it's probably a completely different experience than when you're going out there knowing, okay, there's already a little bit of heat on me here. You're overthinking every little piece of your mechanics and everything you've been working on, and you've got a million things going through your head. That's how it feels like that's the place we feel like we're at right now, I think, with Tyler Bass. And the Bills are going to have to figure that out. And the problem is, whether or not they think that it's a huge problem is irrelevant, because contractually they can't get out of it. And that's another reason why, man, getting aggressive on a kicker for me, like, it doesn't make a ton of sense. Like, I get wanting to give a guy a contract, but I'd almost be more willing to take the running back approach, which is what I've always talked about on our show, is like, You try to find a guy in the draft, you develop him, you hope he turns into something, but at the end of that rookie contract, you turn it over again. I think that I love the Ray Davis pick just because of that, and I'm not saying that James Cook isn't going to be a member of this team in 3 years. I'm saying give yourself those options so you're not hamstrung and having to pay a guy. Like, I think going back into the draft and drafting the kicker again, if Tyler Bass wanted too much money, I just think that you bank on your coach's ability to develop those guys just like they developed the guy before, and it protects you when you're paying a quarterback like you're paying Josh Allen from running into a salary cap issue with a kicker.
Yeah, so basically, is Tyler Bass on this roster right now, Matt, because, well, the Bills can't afford to cut him?
He's running unopposed competition-wise because of the contract.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What about Frank Gore Jr.? We'll always have week three of the preseason to remember the Frank Gore Jr. game. They've waived him, but do you think it's likely he ends up on the practice squad? Do you think another team will see what he did against Carolina and say, oh yeah, we want that guy on our roster?
You know, I love the preseason, and mostly just because of the dramatic overreactions that we see so often. We got to make sure that we're looking at things and talking about things in their proper context. And Frank Gore Jr., such a cool story to run for 100-plus yards in a preseason game, big opportunity. He was doing it against mostly third stringers that are all going to be looking for a job today. So that's the part of it that I think you got to take the whole body of work. He's really, I think, trended upwards since rookie minicamp. I was really kind of down on him during rookie minicamp, and I thought we got to the summer, and slowly but surely over the course of practice, he started to look more comfortable. You know, the drops weren't as prevalent. Like, there was times in the spring and early summer where he was dropping balls in, like, routes versus air in the individual period. And he just got much more confident as time went. And he's got the bloodlines. I mean, obviously there's excitement about the fact that he's Frank Gore's son, and we all know what he did in the league. But I think practice squad for him is the perfect place as an undrafted free agent to be able to develop him a little bit. You get another look at him next summer and see if that is if there's some real juice there. I mean, there's some running backs that are going to cut today that I think I'd probably take over Frank Gore Jr. There haven't been any specifically that I've seen yet. I think there was one. Who was the one in Denver? Was there a cut in Denver?
P. Ryan,
right. Yeah, like this, P. Ryan. Couple of those kind of like 6, 7, 8 year vets that I think like probably fall more into the Latavius Murray role, where I feel like they'd just be much more trustworthy at this point.
Matt, I'm going to jump ahead here because the next time we'll talk to you, we're going to be full on week one preparation, and I don't think it's too early now to start thinking about what that's going to look like. Bills in Arizona on September the 8th, and if I'm coming up with reasons in my mind how the Bills could stub their toe in this game, It's really the unknown of Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, the promise of this guy, we saw a little bit, but who really knows? My question is about who's going to be defending him, whether that's Rasul Douglas or Christian Benford, or do they flip the corners? We won't know. But my question to you is, the starting corners for the Buffalo Bills, what type of camp, what type of preseason would you say Benford and Rasul Douglas had?
I think Rasul Douglas is going to get a big piece of that matchup. And I know Keon Coleman isn't in the Marvin Harrison tier, so I would expect that Harrison would be a challenge. But, man, the other day in practice, Douglas absolutely shut down Coleman, so much so that he was chirping in his ear about it. Real frustrated Coleman had to come back a couple plays later against Kyer Elam. And he won. He got it back, and he chirped himself a little bit. But if you're looking for a guy that at this point in his career where Rasul Douglas is an 8-year vet, I mean, I'm giving him that assignment. I like Christian Benford to be feisty and compete in that assignment as well. But if we're talking about one-on-one, ball skills, physicality, all the traits, the quickness, everything like that, I think Rasul Douglas gets that matchup.
All right, we want to get your take on this. The Bills actually releasing the final 53-man roster. I say 4:30. Gene says later.
8 o'clock.
Yeah, Gene's saying later tonight. What say you, Matt Parrino?
Well, that's tough because they do seem to kind of operate at their own schedule there. But I will say I think that they're a little bit ahead of the curve only because of how much more we've seen coming out this morning. The fact that they got started on the cuts, I don't feel like we heard as much at this point last year. So I'm going to say they're going to be pretty close to 4. I think they'll be before 4:30.
Before 4:30. Okay,
wow.
So I got 4:30. Matt took the under.
We bet on everything on this show, Matt. Yeah. That's what, like, we're
degenerates.
Absolutely. I respect that, actually. And you want to know how big of a degenerate I am when it comes to gambling? I don't do it very often. But we were at the we went to the Pirates game when we were in Pittsburgh for the preseason, and I was betting pitch speeds and ball or strike every single pitch. Like, you could do that in the apps, which I think is absolutely insane.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like this. It's like the baseball or sports version of like roulette, right? Like, you're just betting red or black every single time.
Right.
But I could see that going south in a hurry. It went well for me. People were like, dude, like, what are you doing over there? Why are you cheering so much for every pitch? And I'm like, don't worry about it.
Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard, the Shout Podcast. When does the next Shout Pod drop here, Matt, as we're heading to a holiday weekend as well?
We'll have our full reaction show tonight once those final cuts are distributed from the Bills, hopefully before 4:30, so I can come back next week and gloat. And then we'll be live Saturday at Wingnuts, 1402 Millersport Highway in Amherst, right off the thruway.
The number is 1-877-8-HOPE-NY, Matt. I mention it often here on the Fan Rochester. You can also text HOPE-NY. That's 467-369. Betting balls and strikes. Yeah, that
you think of the question. I have many questions here, Matt, but sometimes I know Ms. P, might be listening here. I mean, she doesn't know about that, does she?
Oh, she knows about it. She has no problems with it. You know why? I don't think I've ever put in on a single day more than $20 into one of those apps.
That's right.
So yeah. I was betting 50 cents, guys, for every ball, every strike. And as soon as I go under $10, I'm out. I'm done for the day.
That's discipline.
But we got up pretty high. I got up to almost $200. Like, we were feeling it. I was reading that pitcher like you wouldn't believe.
Now that's a way I'm going to have to enjoy Major League Baseball moving forward. If I wasn't north of the border last Monday for the Blue Jays game, and I don't think I'm able to bet on FanDuel north of the border. I think I have to be in the state where, saying? But, a new way to enjoy Major League Baseball on site, courtesy of our friend Matt Perino. Buddy, enjoy the rest of your week. Let's talk again on Tuesday.
All right, man. Take care.
All right, thanks,
man.
Matt Perino, covering the Buffalo Bills for the Syracuse Post-Standard, Syracuse.com, and the Shout Podcast as well. We wait for the final 53-man projection, and if Perino has its way, it'll happen here in the next half hour or so.
So this counts, actually, Brandon Codrington. This goes to the you said two, I said three. How many guys are on other NFL rosters that'll be on the Bills' initial 53?
Yeah, weird. I didn't expect it to come via trade. I thought it would
from
just be
from the Jets of all teams.
I thought it would just be, let's pluck this guy who got released by a team.
Here's the question I have. Like, I get it from you're a Jeff fan. Why are you helping the Bills? Let Brandon Connerton go to waivers, and maybe you get him back on the practice for what, a six round pick swap? Who cares? You want, unless you really don't think anything of Brandon Connerton, you're like, okay, Buffalo, you take him. Ha ha ha.
You're right. That's the only thing. You know, what kind of a guy is he? Kind of a locker room guy? Is he a disruptor in the locker room? Is he going to be somebody that just doesn't get along with anybody?
He's somebody who was not only usually the street free agents, they get snapped up right away, but because he went to this small HBCU school, undrafted in May, and okay, and then he shows a little speed, and he's got the highlight. That the film from the preseason, that's why
it's impressive.
Bills made this move.
Yeah, okay. So to answer your question, why would you help the Bills? I don't know. And they don't really realize that they aren't helping the Bills. Maybe this is a guy that's going to be behind Hardy, and Hardy is actually the guy, and you just need somebody else, since you're moving on from Hamler, that can be back there to field punts and kicks.
It's an encouraging sign, though, from this standpoint, Danger. Maybe the Bills actually are taking this kickoff rule a little more seriously.
Well, the thing that I don't like is that they're being reactive instead of proactive. Oh, look at that guy. He's got it figured out. Let's get him. Instead of saying, you know, here's what we want to do, and here's how we're going to do it, and here's the personnel we're going to get to do it. Maybe Codrington is that missing piece, but I think that they're still going to use Hardy, even though Hardy, you know, doesn't inspire a lot of confidence when he's fielding punts at the 5-yard line.
It's kind of surprising that they make this move and not keep KJ Hamler. That's another kind of piece of this, too. Like, oh, wait a second. They released all these receivers. Like, Hamler did make the team. No.
No, he didn't.
No, he did not.
Well, we'll hopefully get the final 53-man roster announcement here while we're on the air this afternoon. We'll keep you posted on that. We've got more on the way next, and we will also check in with Nate Geary. Nate Geary, the Buffalo Bills Radio Network, will be stopping by the sports bar here in about a half an hour or so. We'll get his reaction to some of these cuts made, not just by the Buffalo Bills, but around the NFL, and there might be some more opportunities for the Bills to add players that haven't been on their roster to date, as we just saw with the trade of Codrington from the Jets to the Bills. More on the way, plus your calls at 866-4326, 585-866-4FAN.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.